I don't know that we'll get through even chapter 1, but we're going to be in Ruth this morning. And I really enjoyed that teaching on Jesus, teaching humanity. I think that he invested very heavily in the hearts of the multitude that was before him. And, you know, we're supposed to be doers, not hearers only. I don't know if they did any of the things that he said, but I know one thing, they would have been better off if they had of. But we're going to be teaching this morning out of the book of Ruth. That's the book right after the book of Judges. And I've got a Scofield Study Bible. About every preacher just about needs a Scofield Study Bible. And I certainly don't beat that drum to any degree at all. My pastor put one in my hand, and I did see the significance and the benefits of having a Scofield Study Bible. It really does help you if you're really a student of the Bible. But up at the top of the book of Ruth, Scofield has some notes in here, and he said this lovely story should be read in connection with the first half of Judges, as it presents a picture of life in Israel at that time. Typically, the book may be taken as a foreview of the church, speaking about Ruth, as a Gentile bride of Christ, the Bethlehemite, who is able to redeem, and that's represented in Boaz. Ruth also gives a normal Christian experience. It's broke down into four chapters. Chapter 1 is about Ruth deciding. Chapter 2 is about Ruth serving. Chapter 3 is about Ruth resting. And chapter 4 is about Ruth rewarded. And the events recorded in Ruth cover a period of 10 years. And I'm going to go to God in prayer, and then we'll just expound upon the verses we read. And Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God. I'm so glad, Lord, that your Word is never outdated. Lord, it's as fresh as the rain dripping off the clouds as we come to church this morning. Your bread's always fresh. Your manna, Lord, is always, Lord, so good, so rewarding. Lord, to be able to sit at your table, and even though there be no more than me and Brother Ed here, Father, we've got enough, Lord, to have church. And we invite you to join us. I ask, Lord, that you'd bless and help us, Lord, to partake of your word and ask these things, Lord, and give you praise and glory, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we're just going to expound, which means read and expound upon the verses. And Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, which is the chapter about Ruth deciding. I like when the Bible says, now it came to pass. I like those terms. That means this happened. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. That's why this pertains to the book of Judges. That there was a famine in the land. And there can be a famine in our land, in our day. I mean, famines, they're kind of like the stock market. They go up, down. I mean, they're here, they're gone.
Yeah.
But famines tell a lot about your character and how you react when a famine comes. Now, the Lord, He kind of told us, you know, that there'd be seasons. And Paul, he said, to be instant in season, out of season. I'm just telling you, I'm not always flying high as a kite. Sometimes I'm down, but I'll tell you what, I'm not always running fast, but I am running the race that's set before me. I might be lagging behind, but I haven't raised up the white flag just yet. Looking around at the day and hour we're living in, I do see a lot of people quitting. Some of them quit because of things like a famine. That they their expectation is that God should somehow spoil them where they don't have to do anything. And we'll get to that here actually in chapter 2. But Ruth here, and this is what I want to title this teaching about, is Ruth is the true picture of how to immigrate into another country. Now, we've got immigration problems going on right now in America.
Right.
And America is never, ever, ever going to be able to do it right. But the Bible does show us some ways to do it right. Ruth is a perfect example of how to leave a country and come to a better country. And that's the main goal that I want to get in this teaching this morning. And I'm going to title this teaching on how to immigrate. But it says there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem means the house of bread and praise.
Yeah.
He was in Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. That means he just kind of drifted from the land of bread and praise down into the land of Moab. And Moab and the Moabites and the Ammonites came to be when God rained down fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot was dragged out of Sodom and Gomorrah by the hand, him and his two daughters and his wife, with specific instruction from God to flee, not look back.
Yeah.
The wife looked back, proceeded no further, become a pillar of salt. And when God rained down that fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah after Lot was out, which is just like the church, right now we're holding back the judgment.
Yeah.
Right now God cannot do what He's going to do.
Amen.
As soon as we're out, buddy, it's woe to the heavens of the world.
Amen.
And when we're finally drug out like Lot, kicking and screaming, God's going to do what He said He's going to do. Right now, can't do anything while we're here. Right now, we got to be taken out of the way. That's mentioned in Thessalonians.
Yes.
When we're taken out of the way, the man of sin is going to appear. Why don't he appear already, Brother Eddie? Because we're light and he's darkness. And we expel him. He can't be as deceptive or effective as he will be when the light's gone. You know, when there's no light around, you make a lot of mistakes. I trip over stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard not to preach this, I'll just tell you right now. But I trip over stuff and I lose stuff. And everything else, I have to go get light to find it. But anyway, let me get back to where Moab is. When they come out of Sodom and Gomorrah, for fear they dwelt in a cave, and they actually thought, and this is the statement of the two daughters, and I'm just quoting this stuff. I ain't actually got it looked up. It's just in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
But they thought no one in the world was left but their father and them too. That's what they thought.
Yes.
They thought the world had been destroyed. And they had a plan. We'll get our father drunk. I'll sleep with him tonight. You get him drunk. You sleep with him tomorrow night. And they both came impregnated with seed from their father. One of them was called Moabite. The other was called Ammonites. They're enemies to Israel.
Yes.
They continued even to this day, I guess, to be enemies of Israel. But yet God, the one that made us all, that loves us all, that reaches out to everyone, made room for this Moabitess girl here. And anyway, it's come to be, and it's a beautiful picture, that Amalek, which is the head of the house, and I don't speak, I'll speak about that here in a minute, he went down to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Amalek. His name means, "My God is King." So with a man whose name is "My God is King" leaves out of the country of the house of praise and bread, or the house of bread and praise, because of a famine, I don't know if he's really standing true to his name or not, but anyway, he takes his family, and it was a bad decision and paid for it, and we'll get to that even more here in a minute. The name of the man was Amalek. The name of his wife, Naomi. Her name means pleasant. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Shalon, one of them means sick, and the other one means pining. Poor names. Mahlon's name means sick or sickly, and Shalon's name means pining or fearful, afraid. Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judea. And he made a bad decision. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, he starts out sojourning, which means he went down to visit. But the latter part of verse 2 says, and they continued there. Now, being somewhere it shouldn't have been. You'll notice here, verse 3 said, "And Amalek, Naomi's husband, died." Now, there is a sin unto death.
Yes.
And I'm not really sure it's portrayed in this, but I do know this. He died down in Moab. And he could have died in Bethlehem. Now, you see my nose got a big red streak up it. That's because my wife made sausage and gravy. And I eat 2 or 3 plates of it yesterday and 1 big plate of it this morning. I might die, but I'm going to die happy. I'm not worried about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus said about John the Baptist in John chapter 5. He said he was a shining and a bright light. And he was willing to rejoice for a season with him. I just got a little season down here. And I'll tell you, I like a little season. I like a good seasoned sausage and gravy over toast and biscuits or whatever. Don't get me wrong, but I'm in it for the food. I love to eat. I'm glad God not only made it where we had to eat, made it where we could enjoy it. I enjoyed that. I'm not necessarily eating healthy or worried about my weight or diet or nothing. But anyway, Amalek, he died. And he died down in Moab. That's a sad commentary.
Yeah.
If you're going to die, I want to die in Bethlehem. I don't want to be somewhere I don't need to be. And I don't want to die because that's why I did die, because I was somewhere I didn't need to be doing something didn't need to be doing. Now, let me get off of that. And Naomi, after her husband died, said, and she was left and her 2 sons. So, I mean, she's lost her husband, but at least she's still got her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Oprah. Mind you, a lot of Oprah on TV, or I always think about her when I see that name there, Oprah. And her name means hind or fawn. And the name of the other is Ruth. And her name means friendship or beauty. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Now, a lot can happen in 10 years. For lack of better terms, this covers a period of 10 years.
Yeah.
And they should have gone, got up and out of there, but due to the leadership of Amalek, Naomi, she stays down in Moab. I think it's important that the husband lead in the home. I think he needs to lead in prayer. I think he needs to lead by example. I think he has a big effect upon the family.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is in Proverbs chapter 17. You know, God put this in here for a reason.
That's right.
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. They look up to their dad. And Elimelech, he kind of set a bad example by going down in Moab. And by that bad example, Naomi's still there. Her 2 sons are still there. They took wives of 2 of the Moabite daughters, women, and 1 Oprah, 1 Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And verse 5 tells the commentary of that terrible decision. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. And then she arose. Those 3 words, then she arose. You know, a lot of things happen in life, even in a famine. A lot of things happen in life to affect your decision. And she decided, it's about time, I need to get out of here. And I think we can learn a lot about this story here. One is the fact that it came to pass. Another fact is God showed some of the product of the poor decision and of dwelling in Moab. And you know, Naomi, she finally got up. She said, enough, I'm out. And you know, some people, that's kind of the way it is with them. It takes so much before they will get up and move. So she decides she's going to get up. She arose, verse 6 says, with her daughters. Now you got 3 tombstones down in Moab. And she's leaving her loved ones there in Moab in the ground. She arises with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. You know what's one thing about it? You can sit like, you can sit there and be like, Jonah, I do well to be angry. And you can sarve and complain and bellyache and whine. But she had enough sense here. She got up and said, I'm going back to the house of bread and praise. And when she gets up to leave, says, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judea. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. She's pronouncing a blessing upon her two daughters-in-law. Now, I'm going to go to a funeral today. Man I worked with, his mother passed away. The Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to the house of feasting. And some people, they shun going to the house of mourning. And no matter what, you're eventually going to have to go. It's going to be someone close enough. But here Naomi is. She's about as low can be. She's on her way back. She's headed back, kind of like the prodigal son. She's come to herself. She realizes in the father's house there's bread and to spare. And she's down here perishing in Moab. And she pronounces a blessing upon her two daughter-in-laws. And you know, that's good. I'd like to see people get blessed. No matter what my situation is, I ask God to bless and help them. And I seen a young girl yesterday down in Gamay. I went down there and bought a lawnmower, like I need another one. But I seen this young girl, and she seemed kind of sad getting in her vehicle. And I went over there, and she done shut the door. And I knocked on the door, and she rolled the window down. And I said, it'll be all right. And are you having a bad day? And she looked up at me. She said, I just ain't feeling good. I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I am. And I said, I'll be praying for you. And I did all the way home. I did earlier this morning. And you know, you can pronounce a blessing no matter what. And that's what Naomi did. And they lifted up their voice and they wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Now that's a big decision. They said, we're going to leave Moab. We're going to go with you. Verse 11, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? I mean, she's low. She ain't really got anything good to say here. She said, don't go with me. Go home. And are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Verse 12, go your way. For I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope. If I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they be grown? Would you stay for them from having a husband or from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. This is the second time they lifted up their voice. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. We're almost where I want to teach about this morning. Verse 15, Naomi doing the speaking. And Naomi said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. That's an important word. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now this verse right here is really what I want to emphasize. Pour the word into this Moabitess woman here. Anybody that wants to come to America, I want them to come if they want to come for the right reason. Now I want you to listen to what Ruth says here. Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. This is important. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God.
Amen.
Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She meant what she said.
Yes.
Now Ruth's not trying to infiltrate Bethlehem. She's not trying to indoctrinate Bethlehem. She's not even trying to insinuate anything other than she's wanting to translate from Moab to Bethlehem. Now, I understand that we've got people, and it's politically played out. Oh, how they're wronged. But some of them we need to shun. They're not pure. Their motive is not good. They're up to mischief. They come over here for one reason, and that's to take innocent life, to overthrow our way of life. Look, I think God raised America up. Listen, if that's not true, you'll have to prove it to me. I believe He raised America up for the sole purpose to evangelize the whole world. It's got His blessing on it. A blind man can see the milk and honey that's been upon America since its conception. Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, it'll live as long as God wants us to live. And when He's done with America, it'll certainly be Ichabod, rest in peace. But Amen. Right now, God's still using America. I still understand why He's still blessing America. There's still a few that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. There's still a few, I'll tell you what, their gun barrel's straight.
Yeah.
They know exactly this is the blessed place on the earth where God has put His hand. And Amen. He's using America to get the word to other countries. He's using America to back up His little pea patch over in Israel.
Yeah.
And they know they can't come against Israel without having the answer to God. And I say, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Yeah.
I want you to know what Ruth says here. Like I said, it's hard not to preach. She said, your people will be my people. She's going to learn English. I ain't got to learn how to speak Spanish. Now, I don't get under my crawl, don't get me wrong. But if I did go to Mexico, I'd learn Spanish.
Sure.
I might be able to speak both languages, but I for sure ain't going to try to tell them to learn my language because I'm there. And I don't want my children to be taught their language because they're here. If you come to America, learn how to speak. Golly, it's hard not to preach this, brother. If you come to America, learn how to preach the language of the people.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying this as clear as I can. I know politicians, this is going to leave a bad taste in their mouth if any of them listen to this. And I'm certainly not trying to make issues here, but Ruth here shows the right way to immigrate to another country.
Yes, that's right.
She said, your people will be my people. I'll learn how to speak their language. And you know, I think that'd be a good thing for people immigrating to America. I think you need to learn English.
Amen.
And she said, and your God will be my God. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If it wasn't for God, America wouldn't exist. I mean, I don't know no way to put it.
That's right.
Anybody that don't know that, something wrong with them. When I was in school, we might not have had a lot of sense, but we had enough sense to say the pledge of one nation under God, indivisible, right, liberty and justice for all. It's still true. And you know, it don't say unto the Democrat, it says unto the Republic for which it stands. I keep hearing this. They're messing with our democracy. Look, I understand there is some democracy, but we are a republic. God. Bear with me, Brother Ed. I see a lot of things going on in America, and I'm not that smart, I'm not that stupid neither. And I also understand, you know, some of this stuff's kind of stealth, done undercover. This deep state movement stuff, some of this darkness going on in our government,
yeah,
that's causing so many problems, and it's kind of hard to root it out because it's rooted so deep and there's so many people involved in it. I feel sorry a little bit for our president. I feel sorry a little bit for our political leaders because they really can't handle this. But the spirit of iniquity does work, and it's working in America to undermine anyone trying to do right. And, they stir the people up and try to get, you know, Maxine Waters there. You know, she kind of stirred up too much, and they burned her flag right out there. And she said, I don't have nothing to do with that. And, I mean, she just as guilty can be. And I think that's going to have a bad reflection upon her and upon her party because she incited violence, and violence showed up at her doorstep, and they overdid it. And I don't know how that's going to go, but Ruth here, with the right motive, she said, I want to live where you live. I want your people to be my people, and I want your God to be my God. And she meant it so much, she said, I want to die there.
Yeah, that's right.
She said, where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. Now she's making a vow to God here.
That's right.
And more also, if aught but death part me and thee. Now that's pretty made up. I mean, there's not really nothing to argue with there. And after she made that statement, Naomi says, when she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. I mean, there ain't no sense in arguing with that statement. I mean, that's about as concrete, gumball, made up as you can get. And like I said, about the issue of immigration, if they want to come here for the right reason, do it the right way. Let's embrace them. You know, we just had 14,000 immigrants become U.S. citizens January the 4th because they did it right. The president addressed them.
Yes.
They were given citizenship. They were welcomed. They're officially U.S. citizens. They've done it right. Just do it right. I can't get off this immigration. I'm sorry. But when Naomi saw she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, which is the goal of both of them now. Naomi's going home. Ruth's going to call it home. And she's never been there. But she's made up her mind, this is going to be her home. And again, my favorite phrase, and it came to pass. I love that terminology. That means this happened. When they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, notice that capital I, is this Naomi? Now, Naomi's name meant pleasant. And when she heard the question, is this Naomi? Naomi said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. That name, Mara, means bitter. Now, we had a president a while back, and he made a statement, and it's a true statement. He said elections have consequences. That's why we need to be careful
right. Who
we elect. I'm really concerned about this Supreme Court justice, because if the right one gets in there, their job is to interpret law. Not make law, not rewrite it, but to interpret it. That's their job.
Right.
They're pulling that job to death. And if we get the right ones in there, there'll be no more misconstruing what our Constitution says. I'm just going to, this left a bad taste in my mouth. Just don't hold this against me. They say that burning that American flag is constitutional, that it's free speech. They're protected by the Constitution in the line of free speech to burn the American flag. That's not always been so.
No.
There's been a time in the life of this country that you were shot on sight. No trial, length of a stay. I mean, you was either hung or shot on the spot because of the price that was paid to have that flag of freedom, and you disrespected it. You disrespected not just the flag, but the people of this country. And somehow or another, someone would lace on their underwear in the Supreme Court justice. Somehow or another said it was a form of free speech and said it was protected by the Constitution. That's the furthest from the truth of anything that they've ever passed. And I do hope we get the right Supreme Court justice in there to undo that ignorance. That's ignorant.
Yes.
Who in the world could ever condone burning the flag of your own country?
Right.
That don't make no sense to nobody.
Nope.
Anybody that thinks that that's protected by the Constitution needs to have their head examined. And even politicians think that's okay and need to be thrown out of office.
That's right.
But anyway, like I said, I can't get around that. I had to throw that out there. Well, Ruth ain't wanting to burn the flag. Matter of fact, Ruth's wanting to salute it. She's wanting to call it home. She's wanting to fit in. Her mind's made up. That's where she's going to call home. And Naomi here admits it. She said, I went where I shouldn't have went, stayed longer than I should have stayed, and God dealt very bitterly with me because of it. Notice verse 21, she said, I went out full. You know that famine? It wasn't as bad. You know, sometimes it looks like things look worse than what they really are. You ever heard people talk?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there thinking, it ain't that bad. I mean, you know, we kind of overstate things, and next thing you know, we take a little pea and make it into a mountain. And we take something, and the time we get done, you know, it's so far from what it really is. You're sitting there thinking, hey, it's just a hangnail.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a splinter. I mean, it's not open heart surgery. And, you know, Naomi here, she says, I went out full. There's a famine.
Yeah.
She said, I went out full in the middle of a famine. And she said, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. God brought her home. I'm so glad He's the Good Shepherd.
Amen.
I'm so glad that He goes after His. I'm glad He calls His sheep by name.
Yeah.
I'm glad He leaves the 99 and go get the one and bring it to the 99.
Yeah.
You know, she said, the Lord brought me back. My pastor used to say, get that shepherd's crook out, bring you back.
Yeah.
I'm glad that He don't leave me where I don't need to be. You know, that prodigal son was somewhere he didn't need to be, brother Ed. Bible profoundly says, and he came to himself.
Yeah.
I believe God had to help him, but
yeah.
It was inevitable. There was no other conclusion. He came to himself. The situation he was in was his own fault.
That's right.
And he said, I've sinned. God, boy, there's a spirit here this morning. And I think I may have brought some of it with me. I don't know. But he said, I've sinned against heaven, talking about his father. And he said, against thee, he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just let me be a hired servant. And his father welcomed him with open arms. Man, he clothed him, put some shoes on him, put a ring on his finger, fed him. Yeah. Said, this is my son. And anyway, Naomi said, the Lord brought me home. He brought me home again.
Yeah.
I'm glad God loves us. Even when we make mistakes, He loves us and His will towards us is good. And
yeah.
She's a little bitter here. And she says, why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord have testified against me and the Almighty have afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. That's important. The timing of this thing's important. Now, Ruth, there's four chapters here. Ruth, chapter 1, she's decided.
Yeah.
You know what? I had to make a decision one day. I could have stayed in Moab. I could have served those gods.
Yeah.
Alcohol, pleasure.
That's right.
You know, the Bible talked about Moses chose rather than suffer affliction with the people of God and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for he esteemed the riches of Christ greater riches than had a Pharaoh. You know, I used to have my eye on Egypt, and we're going to be preaching a bit about Egypt today, so don't hold it against me for speaking so harshly about Egypt. But I used to dwell in Egypt, and you know what? I really didn't know there was a Canaan land. I didn't really know what I needed to know about Canaan land. But I'm glad one day I got out of Egypt. I'm glad one day I made a decision. I've had enough of this. And I'm glad God allowed me to get out of Egypt.
Amen.
I had to have to die there like a lot of people do. And that's God, by the Lord's mercies, I didn't die there. But just like Ruth here, I made a decision. And praise God, thanks to that decision, I got out of Egypt and got in Canaan land.
Yeah.
So she's made her decision. And now here she is. And she's in the house of bread and praise. She's in Bethlehem, and wouldn't you know it, it's the time of the beginning of barley harvest. God's already got the table spread for her.
Yeah.
And we'll get on here in chapter 2, and we'll go as long as the Lord allows us. If somebody comes in, we might go a little further. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Amalek, and his name was Boaz. Now Boaz pictures Christ in this book of Ruth.
Yes.
And he's the kinsman redeemer. Ruth can't help herself, but she wants help. She comes to where the help is, and boy, oh boy, did God reward her for it. So this Boaz, which is a near kinsman, and verse 2 said, and Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, this is a key verse right here, let me go now to the field and glean ears. She wanted to work.
Yeah.
She didn't want to just come here and draw a check. You know, she didn't want to just immigrate from Moab to Bethlehem. She said, I want to go get a job.
Right.
You care if I go work? I mean, I know that don't fit in the day and hour we're living in, but
no,
Naomi said, Ruth said, I want to go out and work. Is that all right? She said, sure, honey, go. You know, that's the right attitude. She said, let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She don't even, we're in the book of Ruth. She don't even really know where she's going. She just said, let me go. Let me find grace in somebody's eyes. Maybe they'll let me glean a little
Ruth
bit.
Chapter 2.
Yeah, we're in Ruth chapter 2. I'm going to go a little further here. But we've been talking about Ruth here. And I'm really on immigration again, Sharon, about the right way to immigrate.
Yeah.
And the key verse in chapter number 1 is verse 16. Ruth says, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. Your people be my people and your God's going to be my God. I mean, she made a decision right there to leave Moab for Bethlehem and to leave her gods for the living God. And she says, let me go now. I'm in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. She's talking to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Let me go now to the field. She's wanting to work, Sharon. Can you imagine that, immigrating to another country and she don't want to draw a check? She don't want nobody to give her a free phone, free health care. She said, can I go work? I mean, she's got the right attitude of how to immigrate. And she said, let me go and glean the ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Boy, you can find grace if you go like Ruth went. She said, let me find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went. Praise God. She didn't just say it, she did it. You know, the Bible says, be doers, not hearers only. She did what she said. She said, I'm going to go. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. This is my favorite chapter in the book, kind of. She went to reap after the reapers and her half. Now, it just so happened, the last verse of chapter 1, it just so happened that when they got to Bethlehem, it's the beginning of the barley harvest. I mean, it's just changed, you know.
Yeah.
And notice here in verse 2, in her half, it just so happened that she lived upon a part of a field belonging to Boaz. That's her near kinsman redeemer. He's a type of Christ. It brought out so beautifully in this book. And her half, she just happened to somehow not just find grace, but somehow by the leadership and guidance of God, she's right where she needs to be. Oh my. And this field belongs to Boaz, which was of the kindred of Elimelech, which was her father-in-law. And behold, Boaz came. Now, that's just like Jesus. He come.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, here he comes. She's out there. Hey, she's there for the right reason. She's doing what she needs to be doing. And you know what? She's looking for grace. And Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said unto the reapers, now this is a type of Christ. The Lord be with you. I mean, he's just putting blessing on them.
Yeah.
He said, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. They're just blessing one another. You know what? God wants his people blessed.
Amen.
We're just coming, woo! Thank the Lord!
Right.
Got to go to church today. Praise the Lord! Got a good night's sleep. Amen! Woke up about 3 sheets in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord! Bless the Lord! I mean, they just pronouncing blessings upon one another.
Amen.
We're going to learn how to do that. And Boaz, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers. He got somebody in charge. You know, God put somebody in charge.
Yep.
And he's got a man in charge here. And he said, whose damsel is this?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's just not, this is part of that just happened to be barley time. It just happened she's in the right field. I mean, this is divine providence. Boaz sees her out there and he says, who is that?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it is.
I'm glad he's interested. My pastor said one time, he said he was pumping some gas in his truck, and he said this guy walked by. And he says that guy walked by. He said, Lord, sir, I'm interested in him. He said, I couldn't believe what they did to me when God said that. He said, I went to that man and said, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. He said, I gave him a gospel tract. But he said, God said, I'm interested in that man. Mm-hmm. Well, Boaz is interested in this Moabitess girl here. And, you know, she's on her last leg here. She's out there. And he said, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitess damsel that came with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers. She made a request. She didn't trespass. She said, is it possible I could go out there and maybe get a morsel or two?
Yeah.
And he said, she asked. And so she came from morning till now that she carried a little in the house. Then, like this. Then said Boaz on the roof, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. He said, you're in the right place, honey.
Yeah.
Woo!
Amen.
I don't know if I'm gonna make it. I don't know if I'm gonna make it any further. He said, don't go nowhere else. He said, just stay right here. Abide here fast by my maidens.
Yeah.
Let thy eyes be upon the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Man, I'll tell you what, when you're in the will of God, you ain't got to worry about nothing.
That's right.
The Bible says when the enemy comes against us and God lift up a standard against him, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad, not just for the providence of God, but for the protection of God.
Yeah.
You know, he lives forever and make prayers for us. And he's always praying for me and always protecting me and always providing for me. Hey, let me tell you what happened to me this week. I had went and put some money in my checking account. There wasn't a lot of money. And I said, you don't care, write my balance down. They wrote my balance down. I said, something wrong. They said, what do you mean? I said, there's something bad wrong with my checking account. She said, you want me to print out of your checking account? I said, yes, please. And man, I left that bank and I trembled a little bit. I went on and told my wife about it. She said, you know how women are. She said, well, who put it in there? I said, I don't know. I mean, it's electronically put in there. I didn't have no indications. I was scared all week long. I was scared to spend it. Scared. I don't know what to do. I thought, well, I'm being set up here somehow. And, you know, I'm kind of sitting on this thing like an egg. We finally got a letter in the mail, and a Social Security had sent a letter and said they'd underpaid me, and they sent a lump sum in my checking account. I felt a whole lot better about spending it. That's kind of like this story right here. And he said, hey, he said, you're right where you need to be. He said, I've done charged the men that they don't touch thee. And he said, when you're athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which a young man have drawn. He said, I'm telling you, you're going to be cared for here. You're at the right place.
Right.
Then she fell on her face. Woo.
Yeah.
Bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, woo! Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Well, who can understand God's grace?
Yeah.
Who can understand that, you know, the psalmist said, I'm poor and needy, yet thou thinkest on me. Who can understand the loving mercy, compassion of God? She's thinking, why? Who am I? David said. He went in there and sat down and said, who am I, Lord? She said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? I was a stranger, Brother Ed, and he took me in. We had a young preacher preach over at church one time, and as he drew a breath to preach, a fly went in his mouth, and he choked on it. My pastor said, I was a stranger, and you took me in. And you know what? He finally got that thing down, went on preaching, but it was kind of funny. And Rick said that, he's just trying to cover up there, because he's up there gagging, trying to keep him swallowing that fly, and he went ahead and swallowed it. But Rick said, I was a stranger, and you took me in. But it says here, and Boaz answered and said unto her, woo! It hath been foolish of me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And how thou, boy, she got a good report here.
Yeah.
How thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knewest not theretofore. I don't know how you say that, theretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Yeah. Boy, if you want to immigrate, that's the way to do it, right there.
Right.
He said you done it the right way. And those 14,000 that became legal citizens of this blessed United States of America, they done it the right way. Citizenship was given them on Independence Day, July the 4th, 2018. They done it the right way. The President received them in the right way. And He pronounced the blessing upon them in the right way. They are officially citizens of this blessed country. Mm-hmm. Ruth did that.
Yeah.
Brother Ed, she did it the right way.
Yes, she did.
And I'll tell you what, boys, a beautiful picture here. You know what? I got saved because I did it the right way. And you know what? She was welcome. And He said, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boy, I'm glad there's someone you can trust in.
Amen.
The Bible says, trust in the Lord all you might. Boy, I tell you what, she got rewarded right here. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid. Though I be not like one unto thine handmaids. I mean, she just don't fit in. She's an outsider, but she's been welcome. She said, why have I found grace in your eyes? I'm a stranger. And here she is. She said, I'm different. And you know, I'm not one of the yours. Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither. Woo! And eat of the bread. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. Woo! Mm-hmm. Boy, God, when He pours out a blessing.
Yeah, boy.
I'm telling you, buddy, He'll load your wagon down.
Yes,
he said, let her, amen, sir, let her glean even among the sheaves. And reproach her not. She's above reproach. You know, the Bible says, who will lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. We're above reproach.
Right.
I mean, I know the accuser would like to have a field day on me. But you know, I've got the best lawyer. He ain't never lost a case. I've got an advocate with the Father.
That's right.
But he got me covered. I mean, I'm telling you, I've got the best of the best lawyers. But anyway, and Boaz says, and let also some of the handfuls of purpose, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Boy, I'm telling you. And leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Boy, I'll tell you what, she made a good decision. She gleaned in the field until eve. She worked all day long. Can you imagine that? She come to the right place. She come for the right reason. She don't want to draw a check. She don't want to be just giving everything. She worked all the way from daylight to dark and beat out that which she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley, about 3 pints. And she took it up and went to the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned and, and brought forth. And she gave to her that she is reserved after she was sufficed. Both of them got sufficed.
Yeah.
And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who have not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Woo! Naomi's got her name back. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. We'll stop right there. But Boaz, a good place to drop anchor right there. Amen. All right. Y'all missed out on a good one.